7 o'clock. This is the morning shift. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. Are you guys okay? Because the song.
Is it okay if I dance to this one too?
Yeah, you can't call me lame.
I don't have a problem with this
song.
You know, I know.
It was just the. Every time I'm dancing to a song. No,
it's one you don't like, but I'm dancing to this one, so I need kudos.
Is it every time?
I need
Please
credit.
Vouch for me.
No, it's not every time.
I need credit.
It's not every time.
Thank you.
Every time today? Nope. Just once. I need credit today.
When it's actually good tune, I'm bouncing my head.
Well, this is Sabotage by Beastie Boy. This is one of the coolest videos.
I can't remember the video, but the song, yes.
Do you remember the video, Day-Day? This is what you come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I definitely remember this video.
The video is them like undercover cops and stuff, and they've got like the bad mustaches and the wigs.
Okay, it's
and
coming
they're,
back
like,
to me. It's
they're
coming
like,
back to me.
It's all in, like, it's, I think it's all like in like that weird technical black and white kind of color.
Yeah, I was saying they filmed it in that kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and they're like jumping over the hoods of like the 90s police cars and stuff.
Yeah,
this is a great video.
It's a great song. I don't have a problem with the song, Michael. It was just.
No, no, I didn't say you did.
You know,
I'm just saying I need kudos when a good song plays.
Well, Day-Day actually selected this, so.
Yeah.
Although I'm going to need Day-Day to give me a little bit of, like, you know, some America birthday music, you know, maybe a little.
A little Toby Keith, Springsteen.
A little Toby Keith. No, some Credence. Oh, even though that's kind of the same as Springsteen in some ways with, you know. But anyways, yeah.
Coldplay? Just kidding.
Don't hate on Coldplay.
I'm not. I love Coldplay, but it's not. I know they're not from here, but I love Coldplay. They hate Coldplay.
We don't like them.
I love them.
They're
that's
not
why,
American.
That's why I said it.
I don't hate Coldplay at all.
Okay, I mean, you don't, but Bo does.
Yeah, I'm not huge on Coldplay.
Well, you can.
I mean, I want people to wake up in the morning, not go to sleep.
It's their songs are not all sad.
Oh.
Look, Falcons.
Yes, ma'am.
Position groups.
Yes, ma'am.
You want to rank them?
Well, I don't have to because Josh Kendall did it for me.
You want to rank his rankings?
Well, his rankings are basically based on level of concern and what position groups he is most concerned with. I won't start like some people's list. I'll start from the bottom. To the top, I won't start from the top
are you
and bottom.
Fun of me?
No,
are
you,
what?
No, no.
This
I was
is what
just,
you get for propping him up all day yesterday.
You
know? Just want to point
well,
that out.
You piped down over there,
but that's fair game though. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's a show joke that everyone has.
I won't take offense to it.
Clearly, he has quarterback is not a concern at all. Josh says because he's there at eight. You know, that's the point where I hit my mic instead of my mouse button. That wasn't good. Then he goes to offensive line at seven, and I don't have a problem with them being at seven. I do think that looking at it right now with everyone healthy, I think you have a chance for your offensive line to be average. And can I be honest with you? All I need them to be is average, Mike. I don't need them to be outstanding. I just need the guys to all play 17 games, be consistent, right? I mean, you're not looking for everybody to be an all-pro.
Yeah, no, and look, let me stop you right there. We'll talk about the offensive line for 1 second, which you know I love doing. I would ask the question, you need to be average at what? Because they are far above average at run blocking, and some would argue below average at pass protection. And I am very interested / concerned moving forward about what that difference in play calling will mean for them this year.
They're
historically running the ball in first and second down
but
the last few years.
I don't see that. I don't really think that's going to – while I think the numbers might – average out in the long run of, you know, come down, I should say, of how much you throw on first and second down compared to the last regime.
Sure.
The last 2 years anyways. I still think they're going to run the ball more time, like more than pass. I think they want to be more like, wouldn't you say 51-49 run to pass ratio?
Should I run through his list real quick for you? Okay. So he has ranking the eight position groups, and he starts with the least concerning, and he ends with the most concerning. So at eight, he has quarterback. At seven, he has offensive line. Six, running back. Five, defensive line. Scrolling. Four, linebacker. Three, tight end. Two, secondary. And at one, he has wide receiver. So that is his top concern.
I think a lot of people are going to say, nope, you got to flip one and two. I'm fine with...
And they're both up there,
I'm fine with where it's at. And really, the wide receiver thing, he makes some good points. Drake London's never had a 1,000-yard season. Now, that being said, I think if Drake London would have had a consistent delivery system, he would have had a 1,000-yard season the last two seasons. But then you've got a little bit of some unknowns, and it's fair to point out. Darnell Mooney has had a 1,000-yard season. He hasn't stayed healthy, and he hasn't had a delivery system either, and we haven't seen that since 2021. Then you're looking at Rondale Moore, and you're expecting that guy to step up.
Him, man. I'm excited about him.
Mm. I think in the right system, again, with a consistent delivery system, which I think Kirk Cousins is, he's got a chance to explode.
Yeah. No, I'm excited about him. I think both these positions, and you can make the argument, I think you're right. I think a lot of people look at this and say you should flip one and two, because the wide receivers being at one, there are questions, but there are a ton of questions too back there in the secondary. And I almost wish that Josh Kendall, writing this article, he's got eight position groups. I wish he would split a couple of them up almost. All right, I wish he would have split up outside linebackers and inside linebackers.
Okay.
And he does mention that in there. Yeah.
Right, and he does. And he's like, dude, if this was just inside linebackers, this would be a completely different conversation. You do have completely unproven players, even though they've been around for a while, at that position at outside linebacker. I feel the same way about the secondary. If you were going to split safeties and corners, this would be two different conversations, right? You'd be looking at the cornerback position going, well, kind of top heavy, but Jesse Bates, you know, all pro style and everything AJ. Else you're getting back. Right.
Yeah.
So I do look at it. I think you could flip one and two. I don't think you'll find an argument for me to your point. I think when you look at the wide receiver position for this team, yeah, it seems like the sky's the limit, but usually when you include that, you include Kirk Cousins. You're like, dude, Kirk Cousins is going to get the ball out. He's going to be accurate. He's going to hit all these guys in stride. Terry Fontenot, while paying Kirk Cousins all this money, is gambling on the fact that he is going to make all these wide receivers better. The Ray McLeods of the world and the Rondale Moores, which we both said we're excited about, he's going to hopefully make these guys better. You don't have that to talk about on the defensive side of the ball at DB. You don't have somebody to look at and go, well, we added that pass rusher. He's going to make these corners look a lot better. No, you didn't do either one. You didn't address either one.
I think they think they did. I think what they think they did at defensive line is going to bear fruit to that. I think they think it's going to help the pass rush. I just don't agree with him saying that automatically Mike Hughes is moving to the outside and he thinks that they're going to move D. Alford and Clark Phillips to that nickel. I don't believe that at all.
But going back to your point about expecting the quarterback play to elevate the wide receivers, we have seen that before.
Yeah,
and I guess
you
can take Tom Brady as probably one of the more recent examples, even though, yes, they had Mike Evans there, but he did help to elevate the rest of that whole entire receiving core.
It's a great point. That was a great wide receiver core, and it looked really, really good when Tom Brady's the one delivering the football to them.
They're unstoppable.
So.
But I also think that Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts playing to that receiving core as well. I think that they can take, if we get Kyle Pitts like we got him in 21 when he had a good quarterback when he was healthy, and you can get some of that out of him, I think with him and Bijan, I think that adds another element to what the – and I know that they're not wide receivers.
No, but it's when your receiving core, right? It's your – yeah.
And if you can create – yeah.
Ball catchers.
If you can create it where it gets to the point where most linebackers in this league can't cover Kyle Pitts, and it's obvious, now you're taking something from the secondary, right, to cover Kyle Pitts.
Sure.
You've got to change how you play him, and doesn't that help a guy like Drake who, you know, can make these contested catches? That helps him because maybe he's got less concentrated on him. Rondale Moore might have less on him, like – I just think that those guys can help.
I'm glad you brought up Kyle Pitts in this entire conversation, because tight ends, like Tiff just said, is at three. The ranking's at three. So you got in front of the tight ends, you got the secondary and the wide receiver core. Guys, I would argue that if you're going to include tight ends in this, you might as well bump them up to two or one. Right? What do you really
because
have?
Because you don't know. You're wondering what you have.
Right. If we're going to talk about the fact that Darnell Mooney has been injured, or Rondale Moore hasn't had a complete season, or, you know, Drake London is your vice. What do you really have when Jonnu Smith is out of here and he was one of your leading receivers last year? Kyle Pitts, you're still unsure of what he is in the long run or how willing he's going to even be, even though I know he's got a lot on the line this season. But you added Charlie Warner, which I think we're all expecting him to be a great blocker, but who knows what he is in the pass catching game. So when you really start to line some of these position groups up, if you want to point to the tight end group and even include them, even though I am positive they're going to go with a ton of three wide receiver sets, if we're going to throw tight ends in there, I have a massive amount of questions about the output you're going to get from the tight end room.
Well, it sounds like you're doubting Ross Dwelly to me, and I think he's going to, you know,
he didn't deserve a stray. I'm sorry, Ross Dwelly. He didn't deserve a stray.
You know, he's got a chance.
Let me check that.
So I just pulled this up because I was wondering, well, what's Kirk Cousins' connection? How has that been with tight ends? And so according to CBSSports.com, it says nearly 27% of his passes targeted tight ends last year. That's fifth in the NFL. So he also has had experience success with T.J. Hockenson, Tyler Conklin, Kyle Rudolph, of course, in Minnesota, and Jordan Reed in Washington.
I think a lot of people still asking themselves the question: is Kyle Pitts T.J. Hockenson? Is he as good
as
he does? Right?
That's fair questions. I was at least just illustrating.
No, yeah,
I think it's a great point, right?
Because I think if he is, and if he is what you know Kyle Pitts can be, and what they drafted him to be, then the fact that Kirk Cousins has shown the willingness and the ability to get to the ball to the tight ends, it leads you to say, man, this could be a great connection, right? This could be, when you look at those percentages and look at those numbers, it'd be awesome. He knows how to deliver the ball to those guys. I don't know what he is, and I think that if he doesn't show the ability to get that separation like he did coming out of college, then I think you're going to see Zach Robinson quickly pivot to 3 and 4 wide receiver sets and not even worry about it, right?
Well,
I think
look,
it's just going to be like, man, hey, we got to get more out of this spot.
Look, I think that Kyle Pitts, I go back to 21 and how, you know, Arthur used him and Matt Ryan was able to get him the ball. I remember Kyle Pitts running go routes where Matt had to fit the ball in between two defenders, like the Miami game, where he fits the ball into two defenders. Kyle makes a contested catch and gets hammered. And they go on to win that game because of that play. They kick the field goal and win the game. I think there's so many ways to use him. Kyle's healthy. He knows it's a prove-it year in a lot of ways. And he is more confident than he's been in a while with who's getting the ball to him.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. All right, we are going in the huddle next. And Aaron Rodgers reveals the real reason he skipped mini camp. Stay tuned. We'll be right back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.